podcast from the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's Office of National Mission. This is God's Mission Here.
I'm Chaplain Sean Denzer, Director of Worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and Chaplain at the International Center, and I'm glad to welcome today for this episode Pastor Roy Askins, who is editor of the Lutheran Witness. We're going to talk about the January issue of Lutheran Witness and especially what inspired it and what your hopes are for this issue, which has now also been made into the Divine Service, a guide. Tell us about it.
So, Divine Service, a guide. This came out of the, well, like you said, the January issue. The whole point was to have something that you could share with visitors, first-time visitors in particular, who came to church and weren't quite sure what was going on in church. You know, sure, you've seen guests come, first-time visitors come, and they don't know, am I in the bulletin? Am I in the hymnal? Am I in the front part of the hymnal, the back part of the hymnal? Back in the days when you didn't have the same numbering, it was even more confusing. So just basically a guide for first-time visitors on what the Divine Service is all about, what the liturgy is, how it performs and functions, and primarily to focus them on why we gather together on Sunday morning and help them feel comfortable, kind of press through the difficulty of learning the liturgy and help them feel a little more comfortable about why they're gathering with us.
The first issue of every year in January is always kind of styled this way. Tell us about what your goal is with the first issue of the Lutheran Witness each year.
Well, I should say it's actually not the first issue every year, but once a year I try to come up with some issue that becomes a resource, a resource that you as a congregation might want to have a stack of these on hand for some reason. For instance, we did, I believe it was May 2020. Sadly, it was like COVID time, so some of it got co-opted by COVID. But we did an issue on weddings. And what I wanted that to be was actually a resource for pastors whenever they have a young couple to come in, say, we'd like to get married. Here's the May issue that kind of gives you a guide on how you should think about weddings, how you should think about all the bits and pieces that go along with that.
Sounds extremely useful. Was that Divine Service issue well-received?
Oh, yeah, incredibly well, actually. We actually ended up selling out of all the copies of it, and I believe CPH actually did an extra print run because they had so many back copies, and that's why we then later released it as the guide here that you can download. It's available, it will be available on our website for a free download, and then you can actually buy pre-printed copies from our print shop downstairs. I think there's a minimum order. I don't know if it's 25 or 50 or something like that, but you can order a stack of them and have them delivered to your congregation. So, and I mean, people were very appreciative of your help in this too, Sean. You were very involved in this process and putting these things together. So
I was really glad when you came with the idea. Thinking back to the time when I was in the parish, this is a perfect thing to have, just something in hand that I could hand off to somebody, and they would be able to just have an introduction to the worship service. I think maybe this was my contribution, but we worked on it together. What I really appreciated was the ability to kind of give us the skeleton, so to speak, of the service and just slowly build more and more flesh onto it as we went through. So you've got, you know, you could take it even just word and sacrament as a place to start. Then pretty soon you've got kind of confession, you've got the different scripture readings that we hear, and you've got the parts of the communion service, and then on into as much detail as you want, until finally you get to the end and it's here's some fancy historical tidbits if you want to know the backstory, or something that I contributed also to is the stuff that you can do and say and think as you're participating in this, so you can have even more engagement with what goes on, even though it might be the same every time, that our thoughts as well as our faith and our prayers are tuned into it.
This is where actually, you're exactly right. This idea of building is much more evident actually in the print magazine issue from January. So if you can, still get your hands on a copy of that because you can really see how we built on it over time. We weren't able to do it to the same degree in the pamphlet, but in the magazine, you'll see we actually have an outline throughout all the articles in the issue where you can see where you're at in the overall outline of the Divine Service as you read through it, and you can just kind of watch it build in that way. It's not quite the same in the Divine Service. We still provide, in the guide that we did, we still provide an outline at the beginning there that sets out, you know, all the bits and pieces and how they all fit together, but it was just much more evident and clear in the print publication.
Is it a problem that our worship service needs some explanation?
I don't think so. I mean, this is the same thing that we deal with. Sometimes people are frustrated or think that the vocabulary in the magazine itself is too difficult. And the fact of the matter is, there are times we use hard words, but I think there's some value in that. We use hard words so that you can learn hard words and actually improve what you're learning, learn more about what you believe and why you believe it. And I think this is actually part of the value of this type of issue with the divine service. We can actually help people dig deeper into their faith and understand a little more what they believe, which is what we did with the whole section on defining terms. We've got a whole definition section. You know, what's the Sanctus? What's the Agnus Dei? Where do all these terms come from?
This is great. I mean, they always tell you not to talk baby talk to children, but use real conversations, real words, normal tone of voice so that they learn how to do it, and because people naturally want to imitate and fit in. It's certainly my perspective is to just be upfront about it, that church is going to be very different, especially I think for the non-Christian, but also for the non-Lutheran perhaps, or somebody who's not used to worship the way, frankly, most of Western Christianity has been doing it for a yes. long time. I mean, yes. the Roman Catholics understand what's going on because they haven't really abandoned that form of worship. The Protestants definitely have abandoned it, and so Lutheranism looks very foreign to them. Mm-hmm. But imagine if you had, I mean, a Muslim come to your church or somebody who had just never darkened the door of a church service. I would not expect them to know what to do. If I went to an Islamic service, maybe dancing's a better thing, right?
Yeah, probably than worshiping. And sort of,
if you're going to jump into the Macarena and you weren't born in the 80s and 90s, as you and I are, thankfully.
Yes.
Then you got to watch for a couple run throughs, and then okay, all right, I got that wrong. Yep. That's all right, and then pretty soon you know it, and then you're part of it, and then you enjoy it, right?
And that's okay. I mean, the difficulty is not a problem. I think this is something we struggle with culturally, that anything is difficult is a problem, and we tend to avoid it sometimes, oftentimes. But I think the difficulty is actually okay. I mean, you have to learn it as part of the learning process. Like dancing, again, you know, you learn simpler steps, more complicated steps, but each of those is more difficult. You're learning more, and it's that difficulty that actually helps stretch you a little bit. And I don't think that that's something we need to be, as Lutherans, afraid of or shy away from, especially when we're dealing with first-time visitors. Our responsibility is actually to help them through it and to teach them to participate in it. And so this is the other thing I wanted to say. You know, we have this resource as a handout, but I also wanted to mention this isn't something, you know, a first-time visitor comes in and you hand it to them. By no means. Actually, a first-time visitor comes in and you sit down with them in the pew and you go through the service with them, right? You kind of help them through it while they're there. And this is the sort of resource you'd hand out as they're on the way out. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about that. I mean, for everyone who's listening, what is it that a Christian, a member of a congregation, can do, maybe making use of this resource especially, to help somebody who comes, who maybe is new, you can tell they don't exactly know what's going on. How would they just concretely use this to help welcome a visitor and help them begin, enter into Lutheran worship, if you will?
Oh, I think the first step is literally to sit next to them in the pew, right, and actually walk through it with them, right? Have them open up the hymnal, show them what page you're on. I mean, I know this sounds really basic, but it really needs to begin there, right? It's that sort of relationship building that they're not, I mean, obviously relationships are important. They're here to receive our Lord's gifts, but that's kind of the initial step there as you're helping them walk through this. Show them what a bulletin is. I mean, in what other context in our world today do you frequently see something like a bulletin, right, that kind of guides things? It's not super common, right? So teach people how to use these things, how to participate in them. And then this is the sort of thing, maybe you actually do have it in the pew. Maybe it's in the narthex in the back. This is the sort of resource that you might hand out to them as they're leaving, right? Mm. There's more, right? Here's a hymnal to go along with this, right? Actually, give away hymnals, right? That's not the end of the world. I mean, they're not cheap. I get it. Give away hymnals, right? What other better thing could you give somebody than a hymnal, right? So give them a hymnal, give them a Bible, give them a copy of this, and then say, you know, walk through this divine service guide. You can use these two resources to help you with this. And it does. It refers, the divine service guide document here actually refers to both the hymnal and the scriptures to help people learn more of what this is about. And then I think kind of the key that's all of the theological point of all this is to keep them focused on Christ and Him crucified and His gifts, right? If you're a layperson and you're asking, how do I help somebody? The goal is always to keep them focused on how our Lord is serving us here in this divine service.
It's really helpful, especially if you're new or, you know, it happens to me even sometimes, and I've been going to church quite a long time. I goof things up. I say amen at the wrong time. I always say the wrong part of the creed, whether it's Nicene or Athanasian or Apostles' Creed.
Yes.
man, it happens to everybody. And if our worship were this kind of sacrifice where God is waiting for us to do it right, or He's going to smite us, or He's going to be displeased with our worship, if that was the point that we're coming to offer some kind of sacrifice, boy, worship could be terrifying, especially if there's all these moving parts. But the point is not that, isn't it? It's that the Lord is forgiving us. I mean, the most minor thing to forgive is goofing up the creed and misspeaking. We bring all that we have from the week with us, and His gospel is there. His law is there to call out these things, and His gospel is there to give the salve to it.
Exactly. You're spot on there. And I think part of the goal here is, as you're helping somebody, is to not look at these things that we have here in this guide as a set of laws and regulations that they need to follow in order to do things right, but actually simply opportunities to participate and receive, right? Like, you know, you had this great section on what are the things you can do in worship, you know, the making the sign of the cross or maybe bowing your head at certain parts and why you do these things. This isn't a set of laws that you must be obedient to lest you're doing it incorrectly, right? There's not incorrectly versus correctly, but rather opportunities to participate in the worship and receive from our Lord's hand.
Yeah, and knowing what you're doing and why you're doing it helps you actually to appreciate it, and that is close to hearing with faith. So beautiful. We'll put a link in the show notes and the description to where everybody can get this, either as a free download or to see if those issues are available. Now, you were pleased also to have this kind of be the kickoff to a whole year of articles on worship, which tied in so well with our Worship Institute that was this past July in Nebraska at Concordia University, Nebraska, and the neighboring church, St. John Lutheran Church. Tell us, I guess, about how that series has gone.
Well, it's been phenomenal, actually. I mean, so the Institute was centered around the Psalms, right? Worshiping the Psalms.
Right.
I was really disappointed I couldn't go because you guys actually sang all the Psalms, chanted all the Psalms, right? Is that correct?
We did. In fact, we got our evaluations back and some people were a little disappointed. They thought that they personally were going to get to sing all 150 Psalms and they didn't realize we were doing that corporately. So I guess that's a good problem to have.
Yeah, we'd like to sing more Psalms. That's phenomenal. So yeah, and basically this set of articles, this series this year has all been focused on the bits and pieces from the Worship Institute, the various way the Psalms integrated into the Worship Institute. And it's just been helpful to kind of see that, how it's all connecting and tying together. I'm also looking forward then to next year's continuing this worship series with you in terms of digging deeper into the various parts of the divine service as we're hoping to do next year as well.
So tell us what you have in store for us next
year.
Well,
that's actually, you tell us what you have in store for us next year. No, really the hope is to, one of the things that people really enjoyed from this January issue of The Witness was learning more of the details, the bits and pieces that maybe are not as commonly known about the various parts of the liturgy. I think we called it liturgical tidbits, is that right? And that we received some help, I believe Sarah Rinsel helped us with that quite a bit. And people really enjoyed that, enjoyed learning more about kind of the history of some of these parts of the liturgy, history of the Agnus Dei or the Sanctus or where these things come from. And our hope is throughout next year to pick these parts of the key parts of the liturgy and kind of delve into this more, right? What really is behind the Sanctus? Where does this come from? Why was it placed here in the service? And what are we supposed to learn and take away from this as we participate in the service and receive from it?
That's exciting. I mean, as you were describing how to help a visitor, I couldn't help but think at how similar that is to helping a child. I mean, you got to get the book out. First, they have to learn how the numbers work so you can go to 563 instead of 553. And then, you know, okay, follow along with the words. And oh, the hymn actually jumps lines. You have to go verse 1, 1, 1, and then 2, 2, 2. And maybe that's pedantic for an adult, but the great promise of our service, just as it is with the Word of God, is there's always more to grow in. This is something that is there for the whole life, and yet you're invited into it even as a little child, even as a brand new Christian or somebody coming to the Lutheran Church for the first time. So, yeah, I'm hopeful that next year we'll build on everything that you have in a real compact, intense way in that one issue, but now we can just, you know, hey, stroll through it one article at a time each month to look at all these parts in a little more depth and just grow into it. And I don't know, what do you do when you find something that was brand new? Do you ever have somebody write in and say, I never knew that before, when they read Lutheran Witness?
Oh, sure. Yeah, we have that all the time. I mean, I encourage you listeners out there, if you have things in the Witness you would like us to write on and comment on and do more on, just reach out, let us know. We would love to do that. I mean, we did an entire issue one time because a layman called me up and said, we're having this problem at our church. And it seemed like a significant enough problem that would be beneficial for the entire synod to hear it. So we did an entire issue on that particular topic because he called in and asked about it. I mean, seriously. So when people write in, I mean, that's wonderful. It really helps us guide us in doing this. You'll also note you were talking kind of about strolling through and learning more. This is the other bit, and I don't remember if this is in the pamphlet. It definitely was in the print issue. A lot more material. If you want to dig in more, we actually provided at the end of a lot of these issues or these articles. If you want to learn more, here's kind of the beginning entry point. If you want to go a little bit deeper, you know, here's another book that you could pick out and read some more. If you want to go really deep and nerd out on the details of this portion of the divine service, here's how you do this here. So there's just a ton of resources in there if you're interested in digging in more and learning more.
This is great. Jesus uses the word disciple to talk about his Christians, and it does mean learner. Sometimes it's hard for us to realize that when we stumble across something that we feel like we should have known, especially if it's about the church service, the one thing that's common to all of us. I mean, you mentioned maybe sometimes congregations have particular issues that the Lutheran Witness can help bring some assistance to. Worship, everybody has that. That's the one thing that our churches have probably before they close, if they do. They're still going to be worshiping. And then to discover you maybe didn't know everything about worship yet. But it's not a horrible thing. It's a great thing. It's actually the design of God's word and of worship itself that we would be growing in it all the time. And it's really helpful to have something concrete that can help fill in the gaps that we missed earlier, or maybe lead us into something that we just had never thought or taken time on before.
Exactly. And having the confidence to admit that you don't know it and learn it is kind of key too. So once again, people really loved this particular issue. We got a whole bunch of great feedback on it and people continuing to ask for more. I do know we have a handful of congregations that actually purchased stacks and stacks of these to keep in their narthex. So it's great to be able to provide this as a free resource for everybody eventually too.
What a great way to help build on the evangelism work that our Christians are doing, our people are doing in their parishes. That when, you know, they bring a friend to church, which usually is one of the best ways to get people to come to the faith, you can help also lead them to become part of the community that you have there, the worshiping Christians together with you. So thank you so much for everything that Lutheran Witness does to continue to educate and to instruct and to strengthen our congregations, our schools, our Christians in this Lutheran faith.
Well, thank you, Sean, for all your work on this issue. It literally wasn't possible without you and your work, so I appreciate that. And the work that the worship department does, I mean, in general, it's actually some of the most active work that we use and that our congregations are using, the stuff that you guys are doing in worship. So thank you, and glad to be a support and service whenever we're able in terms of helping you guys get the word out there and teach God's people. Website is witness.lcms.org. You can download it there. It will probably come in as a post once we have everything finalized and set up. So witness.lcms.org, and then you'll want to search for the Divine Service, a guide. And that will have information both for downloading the free PDF. The free PDF is completely free. It's copyrighted, but use for congregations is totally free. You can print off as many copies. You don't have to ask us. Just print it off and stick it in your narthex. If you want to have us purchase, or if you want to purchase physical copies, you can. Once again, they're printed off. They look incredibly nice, actually. We have a print shop downstairs that prints these off. And you can print them off, or you can have them printed off and mailed to your congregation as well. And in fact, if I can, I'm going to plug a couple other ones. We have two other ones coming out in the next month or two. One is, let's see, this would have been in February of 20, or maybe it was October, November of 22, 23. We did Lutheranism versus other denominations, and then we did Lutheranism versus other world religions. Those were also very well received. People like the consistent layout and pattern and comparison between what Lutherans believe and what other religions believe or other Christian denominations believe. Those have also been turned into pamphlets in the same format. So you'll be able to download them as a free PDF and print them off. Or if you'd like to purchase printed copies that look very nice in the same format here, you'll be able to do that. And our hope is to have kind of a stack of these pamphlets that you can use in your congregation.
Witness.lcms.org. Thank you, Pastor Askin, so much for all the support that you give to the work of the Office of National Mission, serving our congregations where the mission is, right where they are.
Lord be praised. Thank you, Sean.
Thanks for joining us. If you liked what you heard, please leave us a review and don't forget to click the follow or subscribe button so that you don't miss out on upcoming episodes. God's Mission Here is a podcast that discusses Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation, and how He delivers those gifts where you live and serve.